My friend, I want to take just a few minutes to share with you an opportunity where you and I can potentially get together to work on your real estate investing business to help get you unstuck, to do so in an environment of other successful, like-minded real estate investors and in a world-class setting. So if that has piqued your interest in any way, I want you to just take a few minutes to listen to what I have to say. So, you know, being born and raised in Miami, my family and I have always visited and spent some time in the Florida Keys. In fact, it's one of my favorite places in the world. And, you know, just in July, I spent my 40th birthday there with my family. We rented a nice house on the water. And I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, I'd love to share this with the right group of people. And I got to thinking. And so what I have decided to do is I am going to be renting a beautiful house on the water with a pool. And I'm going to host the first Flip Empire experience at this house. It's going to be for a very small, select group of people. It's going to be very intimate, probably somewhere between 8 and 12 people max, if that at all. And I just want to take an opportunity to share this with you. So if you have any interest at all in getting together with like-minded individuals, people that are going to walk alongside you, people that are going to hold you accountable, people that have already achieved a certain level of success in their business, you know, so if you're just getting started in this business, if you haven't done any deals, I really appreciate you. I love the fact that you're listening to this podcast, wanting to learn and to grow. But this is not for you. So this first Flip Empire experience is going to be, if you've already done deals, if you've already, if you're already making money and you want to, you know, as they say, take it to another level and you want to do so, you want to network with the right people. You want to go deep on what's working, what's not working, and help you get unstuck, essentially remove any roadblocks or barriers that are preventing you from getting to, you know, from where you are today to where you want to go. And you want to do so in a place where people aren't going to judge you and people are just going to, like, you know, help you essentially, help you get from where you are to where you want to go. And in some cases, it might be even something on the personal side that's masking itself as a business challenge, but it's actually a personal challenge. But if you see the value in that and you want to do so with the right people, in the Florida Keys in an amazing location, and you want to experience what this is all about, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to head over to flipempire.com/private. There's going to be a very, very short web form there. And that's going to essentially start the process where you and I can connect and see if ultimately this is the right fit. I will tell you, there is going to be an investment involved. It's not going to be anything crazy, $20,000, $25,000. It's not going to be anything like that. But if you're already doing deals and if you know there's another level, if you know there's an opportunity where getting together in an inspiring location with the right people and just essentially removing anything that's preventing you from getting to where you want to go and help you accomplish your goals, head over to flipempire.com/private. And that's going to jumpstart the process essentially of us connecting and seeing if you are the right fit for the first Flip Empire experience that I'm going to be hosting. Really, really looking forward to it. Again, if you think this is for you, there's no commitments, no obligations. Just take a few minutes to fill out the web form and you and I will connect on a call. I'll answer any questions you have and ultimately determine if this would make sense for both of us. So head over to flipempire.com/private. And if that's you, I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
My friends, how are you? Welcome to episode 464 here. My name's Alex Pardo. You're listening to the Flip Empire Show. And I am excited about the masterclass because I have some dear friends of mine, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle, aka the Wolfpack. Incredible human beings. They started investing in real estate about 24, 25 years ago. They built Texas Turnkey Properties, which is a property management company that specializes in buying, selling, and managing assets in Houston, Texas, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they're just phenomenal, phenomenal operators. If you know anything about running a property management business, you know it's extremely difficult, and they've been able to successfully scale it to about 38 team members. And what's really interesting that we talk about on today's show is the dynamics of working with a spouse or significant other. How do you maintain a healthy, happy, successful marriage or partnership be in a committed relationship while at the same time having a thriving and successful business. Sometimes those can be at odds with each other. You know, challenges in the business can spill over into your personal life. Challenges in the personal life can spill over into the business. And today's episode is very raw and real. And Sean and Joni are just incredible people that really open up, kind of share their heart and share just practical advice and just words of wisdom, things that have helped them over the course of the last 24, 25 years that I really think can help you, even if you're not in a committed relationship, but you might have a partner of some kind, or even if you're not in a partnership, but you're in a committed relationship. I think it's important that you listen to this episode because there's so much practicality and, like I said, wisdom that they share that I believe you're going to get a lot out of it. And we also talk about the importance of culture and what that plays in building a team and how that ties in with having a happy and successful relationship, marriage, partnership, etc. So unique episode. I think you're going to enjoy the content and get a lot out of it. I know I did. Like I said, my family has spent some time with the Wolfswinkles in Jamaica for our holiday mastermind. Great, great people. And I'm excited to introduce you to them. Wolfpack in the house. I got Sean Wolfswinkle, Joni Wolfswinkle. I just combined their names and called them Joni by mistake. So yeah. These are two of my favorite people, guys. It is it's an honor and a privilege. Guys in the show, how you doing?
Great, thanks so much, Alex, for having us on. And don't worry about it. Everybody does that. The Shoney's, they call us the Shoney's
or Shoney and John. Or it's actually, we've got a good story to that because we in our company we've always been wanting to do like some kind of rewards program,
right?
And so like if they get reviews, if they cheers for peers, if they want to like talk about a team member that did something great that week, and so they get Shoney bucks, and so we have dollar bills. And Joni and I are in the middle, like, you know, back to back.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I love it. You know what? I think that's a perfect segue into a question I have. And so just to give you guys some context, one of the things that I've had on my mind for a while to do, and I think Sean and Joni are the perfect couple and partnership to do this with, is I want to get deep into how do you make a marriage work while simultaneously making a business partnership work. So I know there's many couples and entrepreneurs that are listening to the show, and you might be working with your spouse or your significant other, and that can come with some challenges, you know? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I want to do is Sean and Joni run just an extremely successful company. They got a big property management company, and I want to get into that a little bit. So you guys just talked about, you know, the Shoney bucks. And I think one of the things that I have noticed from the outside through social media and from the masterminds that we've participated in, you guys seem to have an amazing culture within your team. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because whether you realize it or not, there's a culture within any organization. The question is, are you intentional about building that culture, or does it just kind of happen because it just happens, right? And obviously, from the outside looking in, it looks like you guys have been very intentional about building that culture and the team camaraderie that I see on social media. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't think we weren't always perfect. I mean, we're not perfect now, but like we've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but we've learned every time. And I guess the big thing is, like you said, we're very intentional. So it starts from the hiring process and even our ads, you know, we're going after a certain person that's going to fit our culture. And when we're interviewing, you know, that goes through several stages of interviewing, but we're looking for culture fit first before the candidate, looking at their tasks and skill set. You know, we're looking at their, are they going to be a good culture fit?
Yeah. I mean, we created also a leadership team and our leadership team is, you know, close knit group. And, it starts with them too. So if we, if we're working together as a family, then the rest of the organization is also going to see that and want to be just like the rest of them. Yeah, so, yeah. We focus a lot. I mean, we have every Thursday, we have a customer service, you know, roundup with our entire organization. So my remote team members from Mexico, you know, remote in, and my Albuquerque crew, my Houston crew. And so there's like 38 of us, you know, on there just networking together and best practices. And so we spend a lot of time together. And that's key, is spending as much time as you can with them. Because through this whole pandemic, if it wasn't for our group, like staying close together, then it could have been a hot mess. So
yeah, 100%. I was just going to say that to me, the culture, again, from the outside looking in and knowing you guys, the culture is kind of the glue that has kept you guys so strong. And if anything, probably brought you closer together throughout this pandemic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, we had our best year. I won actually the Housing Award Wire, you know, award. And it was because of the team, you know, like we excelled through this and we probably grew more during this pandemic. So, yeah,
so and just some like little takeaways, we even though we have like 12 remote team members. So they're remote team members based out of Mexico, but you know, we treat them as team members. They're just like their employees here. And even in a like COVID world, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff through Teams or Zoom. And so every morning we're huddling up together, the whole organization, for a quick meetup. Mm-hmm. You know, Brett's running the customer service roundup and uniting the company together, focused on customer service and, right, and serving the customer. We do a lot of events together. Mm-hmm. So the leadership team, you know, we do an offsite, you know, 3 or 4 day event together, and we rent an Airbnb, we gel as a company or as an executive team, go over strategies and the, you know, the upcoming year and the goals. And then at quarterly, we meet every quarter, but we translate that down and we do a lot of events. We've been fortunate that we got to do Topgolf a couple months ago.
Very cool.
Yeah, just a lot of keep the team involved and engaged. We celebrate everything, yeah, birthdays, anniversaries. You know, so we try to, property management is a tough business,
yeah,
very tough. And it's just, we try to keep the morale up constantly because we know they're getting, you know, challenged and mm-hmm, they have to deal with some very angry tenants and owners at times. And so we're constantly supporting them, encouraging them. We got shirts that's, you know, it has a logo and then it says, "We got your back," on the back. Cause, and that's not only for the owners that we got their back, but it's also,
the team
and the employees. They know we got their back and we're there to support them.
Yeah. And something
they feel valued and cared for, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And you probably wouldn't work for our company unless you wanted to improve yourself on a personal level as well. So we are big on self-improvement. We, you know, read books together as a team. And so everyone in the organization wants to be someone. They have goals, they have dreams, you know, and so yeah, that's important in our organization as well.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, some, I think, business owners kind of get afraid of that. Like, oh, like, I don't want somebody like, you know, because I don't want them to leave me type of thing. No, I mean, heck, if they have dreams and goals and they can better themselves, and I feel better, I feel good about myself that I help somebody else.
Yeah.
So, a lot of them, that's a you know, half glass full mentality kind of thing, where it's like, you know, if you're investing in them, you know, they're just going to be so much better employees for you. And so we just found that, you know, yeah, we've had some that went on that started their own companies that moved on, and that's awesome. And that's, we still keep in contact with them, support them. But you know, if you're investing in them, that puts out a better product for you in the long run. Mm-hmm. And so like this year, one of the new initiatives that we started doing was Grant Cardone has a university. Mm-hmm. And so even though it's highly sales focused, the whole organization is going through the modules and going through the training. So they're required every day to watch 15 minutes of Grant Cardone, which, but it's, it, and it, yes, it's sales, but it's, it, it encompasses every one of their roles, because every one of them has to persuade an owner to do the make ready, or persuade owner to let's do this repair on the house, or persuading the
no matter what you do, it's sales.
It's still sales.
Exactly. You're always selling no matter what, whether you're selling yourself or you're trying to sell an owner on doing something. 100%. I love the fact that you guys value personal development, not just obviously with yourselves, but like you've transferred that over to your team, and that you mm-hmm. have that abundant mentality versus, I think, Sean, what you alluded to, or Joni, the scarcity mentality of, oh, mm-hmm. like, what if they leave? You know, and I'm such a big believer in like when our time is up and we're gone, like what kind of like imprint
did you leave on the world? Yes.
You know, and I love the fact that you guys are not just investing in your team members for the sake of your business, but because you care about them.
Right.
And that's super evident. Again, just knowing you guys and then seeing like all the stuff you do as a team together on social media, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to kind of segue into like you guys for perspective and context, and then I'm going to lead into like how you guys got started, as a partnership, right? How many, you said 37 or 38 team members is what you have now in total?
Yes.
So by most people's standards, that's a pretty big business. How long have you been operating and running this property management company?
So we've been operating for 10 years. In 2010 is when we started property management. Now we've been in business for 20 years. But the first 10 years was a smaller flip business, investment business. So we used to flip houses and wholesale and all that, but it was a much smaller operation. For the first several years, it was, you know, Joni and I out of our house, you know, and then it grew to a little bit bigger than that. And then when we opened the property management company is when it really started to grow and scale. So for 10 years. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now that we have kind of like the big picture, take me back. Were you guys high school sweethearts?
Yeah. We were, yeah. So we started dating I was 15. We were both 15 out of high school. And both graduated and went on to college at University of New Mexico. And we started flipping houses at 19, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know what she saw in me, but, you know, it's a good chance. So I've always reserved and a little bit shy, but yeah, she saw, I don't know what she saw, but she saw a need
he's a shy guy. Yeah. I was more of a little rebel, I think.
Yeah. Maybe she saw a project. Yeah.
Dude, are you telling me that Joni made the first move on you? Was she the one that kind of
approached you? Yes. Yeah, actually she did.
That's hilarious.
He had a nice truck. I was looking at his truck. I'm like,
The truck did it for you, man. That's the other deal. Exactly.
So, no, but we've been together for 24 years and we've been married 17. We grew up together and we grew up in this business together. So, you know, this is something that it's just evolved together. And that's when people ask that, like, how do I make it work in my marriage? How do I work with my spouse and have a business? I mean, it's definitely not easy.
No.
It's something that's evolved with time. But we knew each other before we had anything, you know? And so it's I think every relationship is going to be different for everybody, but Joni and I found our roles.
So I mean, like Sean's strength is he's more of like the visionary, you know, mm-hmm. bigger picture. And I mean, we're both drivers. I mean, I think that's kind of like, that's how we're successful, but he's more of the visionary and I'm more of the executor, I guess I should say, like, you know,
she's a bulldog.
I'm like, all right, I'm going for it. Yeah. I'm good.
So how did this even, so you guys met when you were 15 and I think Joni, you said when you were, or Sean, you said when you guys were 19 is when you flipped your first house together.
Yeah. So we started buying houses when we were 19. We saw an infomercial while we were in college and my parents had given me a little bit of money to go to college and I went on a scholarship. So I took that money and I bought Russ Whitney courses at that time. That was like 20 years ago. And mentorship programs and boot camps. And that's how we got started. And the real key was out of that package, we got a mentorship program. And the mentor kind of took, I think he saw us, we were young, ambitious. He just took us under his wing. And like the first six deals we did with him. So we partnered, Joni and I were like, did all the legwork. And then he did he provided the money and the experience. But that's really what got us a good kickstart was having a good mentor and somebody to hold our hand through those first six deals.
Yeah, that's critical. It's awesome that you guys had that, especially working together and just being so green, not really knowing much, right?
Right.
How long were you guys flipping and wholesaling before you decided to start the property management company?
Yeah, so 10 years. So we had a weird college experience. So we would we scheduled all our classes in the morning as early as we can. We went to class in the morning and then in the afternoons we were out checking our job sites, flipping the houses. Joni became a real estate agent and then a broker And so she would list all the houses, but we did that for 10 years. And we got heavily involved in subject to investing. So we got very successful at knocking on doors, and we were,
We would go as a young couple, knocking on doors together, and we non-threatening. So we did really well.
We were innocent, right? We were innocent looking. And
yeah. Incredible. I think what's so cool that strikes me is that you guys at such a young age were so ambitious. And it wasn't like, it seems like you guys were on the same page. It's not like Joni wanted to go out and party and Sean was all about business. Both of you guys were like about it. You guys were ambitious. I don't know if you had a clear vision at that point of what you wanted, but you guys just seemed to click and work very well together from the get-go. I don't know. Is that an anomaly in your opinion? Or did you guys, back to that word intentionality, yeah, did you guys have conversations about this? Hey, if we're going to do this together, this is how this is going to work. Or did it just kind of click and happen?
Well, we were both drivers. The way I was brought up, my mom was a single mom, and so I had my first job at like 15. So I just knew that I just wanted something bigger. And Sean also, even though we came from different families, you were also a hardworking family. And, we were,
at the beginning, it was obviously financially driven. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, Joni being that, she came from a much rougher upbringing and a single mother, and she had to get a job just to buy the clothes she wanted at 15, mm-hmm. where I was the total opposite. So Joni says I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I was the son of a doctor and, got to travel a lot, stuff. But my parents were also like first generation, college educator or mm-hmm. Professionals, and so they also had a hard drive and hunger. My mom was an OBGYN, so I hardly saw her, but I saw her work ethic, and that translated to me later in life, that very strong work ethic. And Joni had that same thing because her mom worked two jobs just to struggle to meet ends meet, and so it translated to us later in life, where we just carried that with us.
Both of us had that work ethic, and we just kind of carried on to a vision.
So. But to answer your question too, it's about spouses and us seeing that. I had the vision for a lot of the, I think Joni was nervous to buy a house at 19 years old. It was a little nerve wracking, but
I get that.
And one of the houses we bought on a credit card because that's all we had. And I don't recommend that, but I mean, that's what we did.
Not what I would recommend, but it's pretty awesome that you were able to pull it off.
Yeah, because we didn't have any money, and we were young, we could really take risks. But I have a very supportive spouse. So, and that was key, is that Joni trusted me and she, saw something in me, and she knew that, I might not understand it. I might not be ready for this, but I trust that he's, and so she supported me no matter what at any stage.
And we were in this together. It wasn't just Sean. It wasn't just Joni. We were in this together. So even when we moved to Texas, that was another thing too, is when we pivoted and went into the pre-foreclosure market, we moved to Texas, having only like $20,000 in our bank account, just a whole lot of faith. And so moving to another place, that was huge for us. And there was times where when we were flipping houses, sometimes it was great. And then, we'd have no closings for a little bit and have no money again. So I actually had to go get a job when I moved to Texas. Mm-hmm. And Sean was like, no, don't do it. You don't have to do it. And no, we're in this together. Like, that's whatever awesome. I have to do, to make this work, that's what I'm going to do. So,
yeah. Were there any, I'm sure the answer is yes. So let me ask a little bit of a different question. Where was there friction within the business relationship that spilled over into your relationship, your personal relationship?
Yeah, there's been different times and different moments at different stages.
At the beginning, it was, I think, taking work home and
never shutting off.
Yeah. Never shut, like, constantly working on emails and phone calls and, that at the beginning, that was a struggle.
Yeah. And then it evolved to, I think as we started developing employees, we're both in the work you know, in the office. And so then it became like, we had to be careful on how we responded to employees. Like, so certain employees would come to me because they thought I was easy to get a yes, you know, and Joni, they knew like it would be no, you know, and strong.
They didn't want to battle Joni. They'd rather deal with Sean.
Yeah.
So we would go home fighting and bickering at each other. Yeah. Like, you should have sent her over to me. And
yeah. Why didn't you? And so I learned that, you know, there were times when I needed to tell an employee that, hey, that's, you know, Joni's department, you need to speak with her about that. I can't answer that for you, even though I had the answer and I could answer it for you, but that wasn't necessarily the case. And then I think lately it's been more, it's communication. And I think Eric Brewer had a great Facebook Live on this a couple mornings ago, but it was on, I have a tendency to, you know, Joni will say something and before like she's even finished, I already spit out an answer. Why didn't you just do this? Mm-hmm. And like she.
So yeah, like knowing when, so and maybe it's all guys, I don't know. You can tell me, you guys want to fix it or he just wants to fix it, you know? So I might just want to just vent and talk about my day and say like, this is what's going on today. And like immediately he's like wanting to fix it.
Yeah.
So
just learning.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a man. It's hardwired within us, and so don't fall too much.
Yeah, so I've learned just to, and I'm not perfect at it, but I mean I've learned to slow down, listen at first, and then maybe even ask, are you looking for my, you know, opinion, or do you want my feedback, or you know, and just so I know if she's just wanting to get off her chest, or if she really wants me to fix it at the end, but also learning to ask more questions. And so I'm trying to get more deliberate at just asking questions. And even if I have the answer, maybe asking questions that will lead her to the path I want her to end at the end, but at least she comes to her own realization. And we do this with employees too, but you know, and that's been tough because sometimes it's just so much easier just to shout out the answer and be done. But you got to ask better questions and ask more questions. And so that's been, definitely a friction. We've as the company's grown, you know, it's learning to have that humbleness and that letting other people lead. And I think, you know, it's caused some conflicts over the last couple of years where we've had some people in our leadership team and I will allow them to make some decisions and lead that maybe Joni doesn't agree with or vice versa. But letting them know that we're all on the same team and we're trying to get to the same place. But there's times where I might agree with the employee and I'm going in disagreement with my wife, you know, and that can be a if you haven't had those conversations or you're not aware of it, that can be some big arguments. And it takes, you know, as long as she knows that I'm coming from that, I'm doing what's best for the company. You're 50% owner of the company. You know, this isn't about who's right. It's about what's doing the right thing.
Right.
And
the greater good of the company.
Exactly.
Correct. And Joni having that humbleness to know that, hey, he's not disagreeing with me. It's not that he's trying to put me down and he, you know, is going with this employee. It's that he's, you know, because we have a couple employees that have similar personalities to Joni. So we got there's some reds, some tough women in the group, you know, and it can be a challenging, and you got to know how to communicate well enough to get through those times.
Yeah.
But both of us just being aware of it, I think.
Being self-aware is a big
thing. Self-aware has been huge. Sure. Yeah. And got us through that. Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things that I'm hearing. Obviously, you know, you guys talked about the work ethic that you were just kind of raised with. Both of you had that, so you were very much in alignment there. The fact that you trust each other is something that, and I'm just kind of highlighting some of the key takeaways I'm hearing for anybody listening and watching this. The fact that you guys trusted each other and, you know, you have t-shirts, we have your back, but you guys from the start had each other's backs. And obviously that, you know, kind of was a ripple effect on the rest of your company and your team members. And then you learn to listen. So Sean, what you talked about maybe 2-3 minutes ago for the men listening to this podcast right now, if you guys just rewind 2-3 minutes and listen to like that 60-second soliloquy that just Sean threw out there, that right there can save you so much heartache and stress in a marriage, in a partnership, in a relationship, because it's so true. I've had to learn that the hard way, is that sometimes my wife does not want me to fix it. She just wants me to listen and empathize with her. Yeah. And I want to get in there and like, no, but I have the solution here. And that's not what she wants. That's not what she needs. Right. Do you find, Joni, that it's kind of the same thing in business, not just in your marriage, where sometimes you just need him to listen and not fix it?
100%. And I have to say that, now I'm better at it. I'll say, look, I just want you to listen. I don't want your advice. I just want you to listen. And now he gets it.
But I mean, she has to preface it sometimes, which it sounds foolish, but I mean, she just says, hey, I just want you to listen. Just, I don't want you to say anything or fix it. I'm just, and sometimes she's just talking to herself, through it. But she just wants me to listen.
It'll save your marriage. It'll save your business.
So those things, those elements I talk about, work ethic, trust, listening, asking the right questions was also a big takeaway, Sean, that you mentioned. Is there anything else that you would say for anybody listening that maybe is lacking some of those critical components? And they're working, right? They're in a marriage, they're in a relationship, but they're also business partners, or they have some sort of working relationship. For anybody listening or watching this that is lacking some of those things, right? What would you say? What's the starting point for these people? And I realize that's kind of like a very broad, big picture question, but I guess what I'm trying to do is figure out from you guys, who obviously you've been able to make it work successfully, not without challenges, because that's not reality. Right. Challenges are going to come, but for people that are struggling right now, and it's affecting their marriage or vice versa, maybe the marriage is affecting the business. Where do they need to start? How do they start to turn things around?
I think you pick one thing and focus on it 100%. So and that's how Sean and I have created balance. Is we have four buckets. We have our spiritual, our family, our business, and our health, right? And so where are my weakest points? Is it spending enough time with my family and my children? When I get home from work, work is done. I'm focusing on my family and that's it 100%. Or if it's in business, you're focused on that 100%. So just picking one thing and just focusing on that and improving that.
Several things came to mind, but number one, getting aligned. So with your spouse, whether on a personal level or on a business level, but the one thing with Joni and I is in the last 24 years that we've been together, we've always been very aligned. I think she's probably submitted to some of my things that I wanted to go in a direction, and vice versa, So we've been extremely aligned. So we've always been headed towards the same direction. To Joni's point, we live very structured lives, which might be
boring.
But we say no to a lot of things, but because if it doesn't fit in those four buckets, we probably aren't going to do it. But because those four areas are very important to us, and we're aligned on that, and so we live very. We get up at 5:30 every morning, we work out, we're in the office by 8:30, we have time with our kids in the morning, they go to school, we work from 8:30 to 5:30. At 5:30, we're done. We put our phones on the hook. That was a big one that we got a takeaway from Life in Air, was just some of those measures that we put in place to balance the work, home lifestyle. So, the phone was the biggest interruption that you can possibly have. So being very guarded against that in the morning and at night, because it's just an email that can totally derail your evening or your morning. So we're very, very structured on that. And to us, our kids have become a very, a very important part of this whole picture for us. So we want to keep growing the businesses and all that, but not at the detriment to our kids. And so we you know, after work, it's all about them. Weekends, it's all about them and ours.
And that's the thing too. Yeah, that's all about. And then we also spend time together. Like we, you know, 8:30, our kids are in bed. We've had that structured since the very beginning. And then after that, it's our time together. You know, date night, stuff like that. Because I mean, things come up, and you have to have that quality time together.
So we spend a lot of time. Which you've seen, I think, as we've traveled together, gone to masterminds and stuff. Joni and I spend still quite a bit of time, just the two of us, because I think it's key. So yeah, our personal time, 8:30 on when the kids are bed, and then you know we do a lot of date nights every 2 weeks. But then we also travel. Pre-COVID, we probably traveled once a month together somewhere, and maybe just a 4-day trip, but we did a lot of trips together just to, you know, keep that chemistry it's always been important to us.
But there's so many things that the Wolfswinkles and the Pardos have together, and so many commonalities. And I realized that when we spent some time in Jamaica together, our families last year, my wife would tell me like the Wolfswinkles are awesome. And by the way, I've told you this before, you guys have some of the most incredible, well-behaved children I have ever been around in my entire life.
Like, we're very blessed.
But that obviously comes from you guys. So just kudos to you guys. I mean, you guys have a beautiful family and an incredible relationship. For people, so one of the big takeaways I'm hearing is just the importance, and it sounds obvious, but like I'm glad that you're highlighting it, is the importance of just being in alignment, being on the same page. Sure. What I heard you guys talk about, and you didn't use the word, is that you had a vision. Mm-hmm. And you set boundaries. What do you guys do like when one of you violates those boundaries? I hate to call them rules, but like, you know, you talk about 5:30, work's done. We get home, we're focused on the kids. Past 8:30, we're focused on each other. What do you do when one of you guys like violates that, right? Where somebody's scrolling on Instagram or Facebook they don't realize it for 20, 30 minutes, and when it's supposed to be family time. Yeah. Or by the way, I'm asking this question selfishly because, to be totally transparent, sometimes that happens with Natalie and I.
Yeah.
Right? We're like, one of us just doesn't realize it and we get consumed by the phone or something else. And then like, so how do you, I guess, call that to the other person's attention in a loving way where you guys are like, you're not criticizing, but it's like you're just kind of reminding them or gently nudging them.
Yeah. So we have a code word and it's timeout. Okay. So then we know that we need to get back in alignment together and communicate what's going on. So we always have this
timeout. And then, and that's like a safe way of saying, hey, I think you're in violation of one of those. I'm going to call you out, but don't
take it personal.
Yeah. Don't go into attack, like go with the mental awareness that, hey, this isn't an attack. You don't need to get defensive. I just, you know, and then it's funny. Our kids will call us out too. So they know those same rules. Oh yeah.
Our son will
like right away. He's like, and he makes fun of it. Cause he'll be like you know, he'll imitate us, you know, typing on a phone. But yeah, so I think it's a safe space if it's within some of those boundaries that we set and the kids know the boundaries, Joni and I, it's safe to call each other out on that, you know, and not get defensive. Trust me, we're not perfect. We're definitely not perfect people.
Nobody is.
Yeah. So I mean, we make mistakes and there's nights where like, you know, something work-wise just it's pressing and we have to work that night. The biggest thing that you'll know with Joni and I is we're transparent. We're transparent with our kids and we will communicate that. So we'll say, you know what? Like, I know, you know, tonight it was like, we had a movie night, but like, and we'll communicate why it's important to us and why we need to do this. And, you know, they'll understand that stuff like that's going to happen in life. And I think they get it even at a young age.
Yeah, it's, nothing's going to go as planned all the time. And as long as you communicate that.
Sure.
Yeah.
This, I don't know if you guys realize this, but for me, this has been so valuable because the last 33 minutes or so of this podcast episode is basically a recipe for a healthy relationship, for a healthy, happy relationship. And that could be in business or in your personal life. Yeah. You know, you guys are talking about just things that are, to some people, they might be like, yeah, I get that. But like, do they, so many people struggle with these things, right? And I think just the open communication, the fact that you guys have a code word, you know, timeout, that it works for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And some people might say, oh, that's silly. I don't think that's silly at all. I think that, I mean, that's incredible that you guys have been thoughtful and have just taken it to that point where the other person, it's like a safe zone. The other person doesn't feel criticized. And again, Nat and I have sometimes been guilty of that. And so that code word is a fantastic idea. I love it. I think I heard Tony Robbins once talk about like making it something funny or something that is kind of like quirky. Kind of like break the state, you know, like a pattern interrupt almost.
Yeah. And that's kind of, and that's just, it's worked for us. I don't know. Like if we just, it's worked over the years. So when we've had some heated arguments from, it's like, hey, time out. Like we need to step back, relax. This isn't about, but yeah, it's worked for us.
Did you guys use the timeout when we were in Jamaica and I stayed back and I was hanging out with the women in the pool, Joni and Natalie and Belinda, and you guys went out fishing and then came back with a goose egg? In other words, you were out there for like 6 hours and caught no fish.
That was hilarious.
It was rough. That was horrible. And we were all so, everybody got so sick.
And you got seasick, right? Yeah. That was a charter I did not mind missing.
That was a great idea. It was more time spent with the women. That was awesome.
We were relaxing with like a pina colada by the pool and you guys were throwing up, not catching any fish.
It was supposed to be like the, bonding with your son and all that. And it was like, when everybody's sick, like nobody wants to bond,
seasick is not fun. Let me go back to something that I think a lot of people struggle with. And it sounds like you guys have kind of figured out what works for you. So many people have a hard time disconnecting business from their home life and from personal. How have you guys, like, are there any like practical steps, advice, or anything you can share with people listening that have a hard time disconnecting, not just physically disconnecting, but mentally disconnecting?
A couple of, like the one I gave you, the easiest and probably the hardest one is the phone. So for sure that's you got to put restrictions on your phone, and it's in, I can almost run my entire business off my phone nowadays. That's the easiest, but also the hardest, because it's so easy to get on your phone at different times. I think another one one thing that I thought really helped us was last year. We took an entire month off and went to Hawaii and Mexico, and we totally 100% disconnected from our business. So it took us 6 months to get to there. Because we planned for it. We told the staff, we told everybody, hey, this is what's happening. We're not going to be on email. We're not going to be available. So what do you need for your department that we sell out of our hands in? How can you still operate without us? So we put in all these different measures and processes that either we finally delegated something we should have been delegating a long time ago, or we put in a process that the employee knew how to handle it while we were gone. And then taking that month off, it allowed everybody
to realize that, work's going to still be there, and it's going to still go on.
But it allowed us to, it was very therapeutic for not only the staff, but also more so for Joni and I,
for us.
Cause I think it allowed us to see, you can leave for an entire month and it's not like the ship's going to fall apart, crash. It's not like, and not much can happen in a month period, but it just allowed us to kind of see like, hey, it's okay. Like you don't need to be involved in every single communication, or you don't have to, it still runs and they do a great job. And so it just opened our eyes a lot, that allowed us to disconnect more and step back more, and then allowed the staff to take more ownership than where they were maybe, involving us too much. That was a huge, so if you can do something like that in your business, I don't know if it's large enough or not, but that was a huge game changer for us.
By the way, a couple of things that I just want to underscore that I think jump out at me from that. Number one, not only are you empowering your team, but I learned years ago that if you really want to test if you have a real business that functions and operates without you, is step away for a good 1 to 2 months. At the very minimum, if you realize you don't have a business that operates without you, you can start to see where the holes in the bucket are.
Absolutely.
And those are the things that now you need to focus on fixing so that you can step away from your business. Because at the end of the day, guys, I'm sure you'll agree with this, business is meant to serve us. And yes, serve our customers and our community. But if it's not serving us and we're serving the business, I think that's a broken formula there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know? So. Yeah. Did you have anything else that you thought?
No, I mean, so for me, it's in the mornings, I don't read a single email, you know, because I think that like, if I read one email that's bad, that it just derails my day for the rest of the day. Yep. And then fitness for me as well, that kind of helps me to like disengage from like work and just focus on myself.
Yeah, she's gotten really good at like, especially during COVID, she just... you know, to deal with maybe the stress or not being able to travel and just she dove further into fitness, which was kind of cool to see. So she channeled that energy or frustration heavily more into fitness, which again, it made her feel better. It, you know, so I'm just trying to keep up with her, but at least.
Joni's got the gym selfie game like on point. I want to see Sean's gym selfie game from now on.
I'm just not a... You can see that it's only social media is because of her. So I just get tagged in everything. It's just, I don't know. I need to work on that, but social media has just not been, I'm a private person. Like, and I'm open, like I'll get on here and tell you anything, but I mean, I don't know. I had to actually restrict her. Like, hey, you're posting too much. I don't want to post at this dinner. So we're just going to have a dinner. Just going to be you and me. Nobody's going to know about it. You know? So,
I love it. Well, look, you guys, as we start to kind of wind down the show here, I want to be respectful of your time. You guys are incredible people. You've done something that I think many struggle with. You know, not only have you built a very, very successful business and in the property management space, which is just extremely challenging.
Yes.
Anybody that knows anything about real estate in that business knows how difficult property management can be. And you guys have scaled that and have 38 team members now. And many of your team members are virtual, right? Like they're not all
12.
Yeah,
of them.
About half of them. Yeah.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah.
12. Well, a good third of your staff is virtual. I mean, that's incredible. So to you guys for having a clear vision, for being aligned, right, with not just like your desires and your wants, but just your values. And I think that's been critical from the outside looking in, and just that's very evident now that I know you. I've known you for a good, you know, year to 2 years now. And then asking you these questions, I see why you guys are so close together. And it doesn't mean you have a perfect marriage or partnership, because that doesn't exist. But you guys are just perfect together. And it's just awesome. I think it's relationship goals. It's partnership goals. You know, as they say, hashtag relationship goals and partnership goals. Yeah. And so I think it's really cool. You guys have shared a lot of practical things that I know are going to help a lot of people here. So
we appreciate that. Yeah. And we just want to say, you know, we admire you and all you're doing. And this podcast was, I think the debates that you're doing is just awesome. So I think keep it up, and you did a great job moderating. And we love to follow you and your stuff too, and your social media posts. And so we have a lot of respect for you and what you've done. So
thank you guys. Well, I value the relationship and the friendship, and I look forward to seeing you guys in person, hopefully soon. Is this the best place to connect with you guys? InsideTheWolfsDen.com?
Yes. So that's our podcast, but that's a website they can go, and our Instagram and Facebook links are in there. And so we'd love to hear from anybody. And if you need any advice, we're happy to share that. So.
Okay, beautiful. Guys, so people can reach out to you InsideTheWolfsDen.com. You want to spend a quick minute, also talk about your podcast?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so it's obviously Sean and our journey together, you know, entrepreneurial, personal journey together. So.
Yeah, so do we just share, it, like you, I think we're transparent, so we want to show you the good and the bad, you know, and we talk about our struggles as being an entrepreneur and the challenges. So a lot of the shows are created from challenges and issues that we had to face that week, you know, being that we're heavily involved in businesses, small businesses. So, you know, and then the challenges and struggles as working with your spouse and your marriage. So it's about entrepreneurship, but it's also a lot of personal stuff. So personal development, hacks that, you know, overcome challenges. And then, and it's big. Joni brings in a lot of speakers and guest speakers and provides a woman's input to a lot of that stuff.
That's so awesome.
Which I think is great. So.
Yeah. And it's so needed, by the way. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I want to connect with more successful women entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And have more women entrepreneurs on my show. And I love what you're doing, both of you guys. And Joni, I love the fact that now you're seeking out women and you're, you know, asking them questions and kind of putting the spotlight on them, because there's so many successful, powerful women out there. And we need to just kind of highlight them more, I think, especially in our real estate space.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, where it can be so male dominated. At least that's the perspective.
Correct. Yeah, I agree. And there's some very talented women out there. So mm-hmm.
Super. Yeah. Super. Yep. Well, you guys are awesome. Guys, we will link this up in the show notes, insidethewolfsden.com. Make sure you check out their podcast as well. Subscribe to it. And you guys were talking my language. I love the fact that you're vulnerable and you share the good, the bad, the ugly. You talk about and personal. So I think that's why we get along so well. And there's just so much, just the core value alignment there is awesome. So
thank you.
Thanks, Alex, for having us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My pleasure. I look forward to people checking this out. And guys, as always, you know, one of the things I talk about is speed of implementation. Even if you're not in a relationship, but you want to be in a relationship, or you're in a partnership and you might not be in a relationship with that person, a lot of what, you know, Sean and Joni talked about are things that can really help you, you know. So whether it's, are you a good listener? Are you guys in alignment with what you want? Just a lot, the code word. I mean, that's something that can even translate to a business partnership, even if you're not in a personal relationship with them. So these are, you guys shared some really, really valuable tools that can save marriages, can improve marriages, can improve partnerships, save partnerships. So thank you guys for being so open and honest and transparent. I love you guys. And I will connect with everybody on the next one.
Thanks. Thank you.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.